Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Man, this one's going to be tough to get
through. Why are you laughing?
Because somebody made a noise.
Somebody snorted.
And then somebody, did you snore? That was literally right when we went live.
Oh, sorry.
I was trying to come in with some energy because of the music and everything, you know. But anyway, brought to you on the Air Force Radio
Network.
Clearly
a professional show.
Absolutely. It usually is, but, semi. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation. And Logan has got some storing things away for the winter in his cheeks there. How's everything going, man?
Man, went to the dentist. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, the dentist is the worst. It's not really the dentist that's the bad person. I love my dentist. We talk about college sports. He tells me I don't have cancer. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. But the dental hygienist, that lady sucks. Because she is like up in your business with all those metal tools. And it hurt. My cheeks are chubby.
Did you get a a deep cleaning?
Yeah, a debatement is what they call it.
Oh, where they went down underneath.
I got some sixes and some sevens. They that ain't going to work.
Ooh,
I said,
girl.
It's just fine. Don't worry. She goes, but it's on a scale of 12. That's not that bad. She goes, 12 is basically your bone is rotted from your tooth and you have an abscess and your tooth's falling out. And I'm like, okay. All right.
I didn't realize a 12 was that bad.
I didn't realize a 6 or 7 was that bad, but okay.
Yeah, you're jacked up, dude. That's tough, man. Do they no one cares about the dentist. I don't know why we're talking about it, but
it's real.
I did the cancer screening thing last time I was there where they shine that big blue light in your mouth.
Yeah.
And
you can never be too careful.
No, absolutely. I came back clean.
I came back squeaky. Oh, I do have one thing.
Yeah.
I know nobody cares, but I'm going to ask, and we'll talk to Fred after that because this is much more important. So I'm looking. I mean, you know how we did the cigars at Black Label Trading Company, right? Who's also part of Boutiques United, much like Fred. And I've been – remember how we had the jack-off names? And, I had all those. Dude – I want to name one Craven Moorhead, C-R-A-V-E-N, last name Moorhead. Would that be legit or not?
I think that's excessively juvenile, and it hits your target demographic 100%.
As long as they're above the age of 18 or legal smoking age in their jurisdiction.
Okay, absolutely.
I was expecting a little bit more of a reaction, Rob.
Oh, no, I love it. I think it's great. I'd buy it. And I'm your target demographic. I'm juvenile as hell.
This is very true.
Yeah.
All right, we can
Although
continue
I'm
now.
I'm in my late 30s, but what are you going to do?
Are you really in your late 30s?
Oh, yeah, I look good though. No?
You do look you don't look.
It's a little, getting that a little old. White in the
You are getting some white and
Yeah. That's all right though.
That's all right though.
And some white in the beard, but speaking of white in the beard, we've got Fred Rui of Nomad Cigars.
Speaking of half a century.
Wow, worst intro ever.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much. I'm turning 50, so I don't want to hear the, I'm in my 30s and it sucks.
No, I did a review recently, or something happened recently where it caused me to go back and watch our interview from IPCPR. And that was, that interview, you probably don't remember it, has the worst segue of all time. And I was
I do remember something about that.
Yeah, we were talking about, I was saying, how do you like New Orleans? And you were saying, there's just not enough Gold Bond in the world. And we're talking about Gold Bond. And then I was like, so speaking of Gold Bond, that would tell us about what's new.
Yeah.
And it was the worst segue of all time. You gave me a hard time about it. So I figured we'd relive.
Did I tell my Gold Bond story?
No.
About my fraternity days?
I
don't
think so.
Gold Bond, when it turns wet, turns to icy hot.
Oh, no. No, then you really can't tell the story. Let's,
wow. Yeah, I think you've already told too much of the story.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny.
We've got Fred Rui of Nomad Cigars. Fred, thanks for hanging out. I actually looked back, and we haven't had you. We haven't had – we've had you involved in a lot of different things on Cigar Federation. You've done member herfs. You've been on all of our shows. You haven't been on Cigar Chat in, I think, 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had been that long until we were talking the other day. And I mean, I love doing the show, so I don't know. Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you. It struck me as as odd that it's been that long, because you're so involved with the site on a regular basis, really. And
but just, you guys are huge now, so I mean,
we
you
are.
Guys
big are
you guys, you're, yeah. You're a big deal. You're
well,
a big
you,
deal.
You're in the Elite Eight of the of it's Elite Eight now, right?
Final Four.
Oh, you're
well. It's no, half Elite of Eight. Final Four.
Yeah. Okay.
So you, I'm in the Final Four.
So you've made it to the you've made it to the Final Four.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so today, so we're still in. You're the first half of the Elite Eight to finish. We're talking about We're talking about Cigar March Madness on CigarFederation.com, and the second half of the final of the Elite Eight is voting today, which is we've got the Sobre Mesa going up against the Padron Family Reserve 50 Years, and we've got the Roma Craft Neanderthal going up against the Crown Heads Yellow Rose, which I've never smoked.
Once again, not a toughie.
But yeah, Fred, you're in the Final Four. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and that
I'm pretty
was
excited. Pretty excited
that,
about that.
That was the 86-13.
Yeah, yeah.
Which yeah, when we smoked that one just recently on, or I smoked it recently on the pairing show. I'm going with the other cigar that you had that was in.
Maduro.
The Therapy Maduro. Therapy
Maduro
had a rough. Had a rough matchup the first round, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah,
who
I couldn't get. I wasn't even upset by that. I'm like, well, maybe the other one will do have a shot. That was a tough matchup. But you know what? That's just the way it works. It's totally random. I mean, you know, I think I voted for the other guy on the Therapy of Maduro. So I mean, it was just.
But you were up against Padron or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it was somebody. It was somebody that I'm just like, you know, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for letting me in there.
Thanks for playing.
You know, I was like basically like Wells Nevada College making it or something to the actual March Madness. You know, who are you? Why are you here?
You know what's really interesting is that this is like the fourth year we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You would not believe, and this is just a complete side note, is that, you know, I think a lot of people know what we do. Like, you know, in general, like people know Cigar Federation. I cannot tell you how many cigar companies came out of the woodworks that I've never heard of and asked to be in Cigar March Madness after it started.
Hmm. Like who? Give me some examples.
I really don't want to name names because it kind of makes them look retarded.
Okay, tell me later.
I can share with you off air.
I want to include me on that. I'm curious who it is, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. And then we'll
Robbie and I were talking about that before. Robbie and I were talking about before you got here, though. I mean, it's a cool thing.
It's fun.
It's half popularity. It's half social media reach. It's you know, half great cigars. So that's three halves right there. So kids, stay in school, learn math.
True.
No, it's a lot of fun. It's Matt does all the work, so that's a good thing.
Big props to you, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt.
Absolutely.
He does a great job putting that together. Fred, you actually won the first year.
I did. I won the first one, and that's because nobody knew about it. So,
and that's when it wasn't on Cigar Federation. Ding dong.
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Really? Where was that?
The first year was technically Cigar Craig.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
it had a big pull. I mean, you know, for his first one out, it was pretty popular. So I was kind of surprised. It was kind of a lark. We were in there, and we had won it that year. So to win one year and be in the Final Four another year, I'm pretty happy with that.
Cool. Who's so we've only done it 3 years, Logan.
This is year three.
This is the year three. So the first year it was
Cigar Craig.
No. The winners the first year in Cigar Federation it was La Gloria.
La Gloria was
black or something
last
like that.
Year, and then somehow which. I still demand a recount. There's Hanging Chads was the bodega, some other piece of junk. And then this year, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be – this year I think they're going to have to go through Roma Craft, I think. Although, I will – Sokka is – he's pushing for it on Facebook, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Nomad cigars. Like I said, smoking the Therapy.
I think they're all good cigars. I think all the cigars at the end. I mean, I don't think anybody at the end could go, "Hey, that wasn't a great cigar." I think this year, versus some other years that I would agree with, that you kind of raise your eyebrow on. I mean, they're all good smokes. I think anybody that's you know looking at the final bracket, deciding what to order off Cigar Federation store. See how I did that plug?
Yeah, thank you.
You really can't go wrong with any of. You know, maybe a Final Four sampler or something like that, or Elite Eight sampler would be a good idea.
You know, that's not a bad idea, but that takes away the whole authenticity of what we're doing. Because you know what, Fred? we're all about the community on Cigar Federation.
We're all about being, we're all about keeping it real.
I mean, you know, when it comes to journalistic standards, there's like half wheel, and then we're like right there.
Yeah, yeah, well, we're right up there.
I'm just saying.
And if we could just get somebody to proofread our posts, that would
be great. Have someone, but you ran him off.
Dude, I did.
You and Surgeon ran him off.
I did. Well, I think that was probably more Surgeon than me.
Hey, I'm blaming both y'all.
I'll take my share.
Okay, 50-50 at least.
And I'm pairing, since we had Fred on the pairing show the other day, I'm pairing this Nomad Therapy Maduro with Founders Porter, which is dark, rich, and sexy. And the pairing is working out quite nicely for
me
today.
Nice choice.
I'm enjoying it. So we've got a ton of questions. We're going to start scrolling through some of those. We've got some giveaways. And I know we've got some cigars we're giving away. We've got some gear. And I cannot confirm nor deny whether we may have a cutter to give away as well.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
On those cutters from Grahamworks, I watched a video of them doing the cutter. Is that really as legit as I think it is, where they're using some kind of high-tech super beam space laser to, like, engrave?
Yeah,
is that really how it works?
Laser.
It's actually Superman on his off hours. What it is, and I'll show you a picture of it, because I was supposed to have him here today, but they're not here today. So that's actually, this is actual size. These are giant, giant Zycar cutters. No, I'm just kidding. I did a picture. So the front, I don't know if you can see it, that's the front of it. And the back looks like that. So they're done on both sides. So I came across somebody that had done one, and I didn't even know it was Grahamworks at the time. And so I designed the cutter. And I mean, it even prints, you got to use the metal XI1s from Zycar, but it even prints on the button, you know, the little release button on the Zycar. They'll even laser onto that because it's a metal component. And the video, so if you look on my Facebook, I shared a video because Grahamworks shared a video of him actually doing the Nomad cutters. And the only thing was is that he sped it up. He said it takes about 2 minutes to actually print it. But that's exactly what he says it actually, I think he said it was closer to 2 minutes, and I could be wrong, but I think that's what he said. And it's amazing. I'm watching that thing just go across there and just print that. So I'm really excited. Matter of fact, I should have had them today. I'll have them tomorrow. So we're going to give away the very first one on the show. And they're badass. They are really, really cool.
I would agree.
Yeah, that video was...
What do they charge to do something like that?
You can email me offline, and I'll be glad to share that information with you.
I just said it now so I didn't forget.
That's telling you, because the badass eagle would look pretty sweet on one of those.
You could put the Sig-Fed eagle on one. And then you could put the Camacho Eagle on the other, and they could have a battle off for who owns the trademark. That would actually be
I thought they were extremely reasonable, and you know, I mean, just to get the shout outs to them. I love the guys, what they're doing over at Grahamworks. I did the humidors that are kind of like the thermos shaped, where they did them on the side, gave away some of those. So I really like it when you've got somebody that's, you know, in the States, they're doing some cool stuff. You know, to support them, and like I said, their fees were more than reasonable, I thought, to do it, and just to bring something unique to the market, just for, you know, for the fans, or, you know, give away on some shows or something like that. I think it's pretty cool.
Cool, very cool. Yeah, that video is pretty sweet, and even if it does take 2 minutes, which 2 minutes, when you're talking about printing one of those things, 2 minutes is kind of a long time when you think about it. When you're ordering 1,000 or 10,000 of them or whatever, they're putting in.
How many
orders
did you think I ordered? Jeez.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. Did you order? I'm guessing
10,000 cutters. No,
I'm guessing like 100.
Yeah, 10,000 cutters is a
maybe
lot.
Maybe 500.
No, I don't think I would do that many.
250.
You still got to buy the cutters. So, you know, you still.
Oh, it does. Yeah,
those XI1s are cheap though, aren't they?
No, you're thinking of the XI3s.
XI3s
are nice.
No, you've got it backwards, or we have it backwards.
No.
They're all outstanding products sponsored by given by Zycar.
Oh yeah,
and all reasonably priced for the quality of materials that Zycar puts into it.
Right, but let's just make sure we're on the right same page here. Is that XI? Not that there's anything wrong with an XI1. It's still a great cutter, but like when you get up to the XI3s, that's like the Mayan and then like the Mammoth Tusk, and then it's like it's kind of like a BMW's good, but you got your 3 series, or you know, a BMW you have 3 series, 5 series, 7 series.
Well, I think, and I really should have, you know, been working for Zycar and figured this out if I was going to get this question. But the XI-1 is actually the metal based cutter.
Yeah, the one
two is a composite of some sort. Mm-hmm. So you can't actually laser onto the XI-2. Whether the defining line on the Mayans and stuff like that is an XI-3, I really don't know. I know the blades are the same no matter what.
Yeah, I've got two of them here.
This is an XI-1 right here. It's a by another manufacturer. It's all metal.
Fred and I had it backwards. I think the XI-1s are metal. The XI-2s are plastic.
Right.
Those are the cheaper ones that are like $18.
Okay.
And then the XI-3s are the nicer metal ones. I think this one is a 3. This was the Crux one that I think that's a 3. And then I've got this one that's like a digital camo.
Yeah, that one's like a 3.
I think this is the 1.
No.
I'm not sure.
All right. Are we talking about Nomad Cigars?
I don't know. You started this, man. I'm just trying to finish it.
Just because I start it, you're supposed to shut me off. And I'm just talking, man, because I'm not hurting anymore.
The Novocaine's wearing off.
Don't give away a cutter on the show anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live at CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. We've got Fred Rui from Nomad Cigars, and we've talked about nothing but cutters and contests on Cigar Federation. So we're going to move forward and talk about some real stuff here, some audience questions. Logan, I'm just going to run down these because we've got, like, what do you like to say, a metric butt ton of these things?
Drew Estate.
Oh, yeah, this next segment brought to you by Drew Estate. Logan and his very professional reads.
Hey,
I got. Okay, so no, you can't jump in with a question now. You've already told me.
I was just saying those were approved reads.
Oh yeah, that was high tech.
I know.
Okay, Fred, we've got a real question for you. This one's from Trip.
Okay,
and
fire away.
Trip wants to know which of your lines, and you've got several. Which of your lines do you find yourself smoking most often?
It varies. I mean, I've got 9 blends out now that are production. The 9th
really
one
nine?
Being the Stogie's H-Town Lancero was number 9. Oh. So what I probably smoke most are during the day, probably mostly the 8613. Mm-hmm. And in evening after dinner, probably the C276, although I work the S307 into that rotation quite often as well.
Nice.
I want to see if I can name all your cigars.
Go for
Is there really nine?
And you have to name them in order.
I can do that. All right, the first one was what I will call the classic.
And that's what I call it, so that's perfect.
That's a classic. All right, hold on, let me think about this.
Dominican.
And then you went with the, and I can't remember the exact order here, but I know you had the 1386.
That was an LE, my first Nicaraguan cigar. That is no longer available.
Which no longer available, but was made. And then you had, let me think, the 307. And then you had the C276, and then you had, then you had the Therapy,
and you're kind of missing one of the biggest sellers now. Think breakfast coffee.
Oh, the Connecticut. Yeah, the Connecticut.
Yeah.
C276, then the Therapy.
Connecticut Fuerte.
Yeah, Connecticut Fuerte, C276, and then I can't remember the exact order, but it was Therapy / H-Town Lancero.
8613 came out last year.
Oh shit!
I'm
horrible.
And then the Therapy, which is actually 3 blends. So you have a Connecticut with a San Andreas binder. You have a Habano in there, and you have the Maduro that Robbie's smoking right now, and in that release as well. And then the H Town came out late last year to finish up the series there.
We just lost Logan, which really isn't that bad of a deal.
Wow, it wasn't that bad of an answer. We didn't have to kick him off. I mean, I would have let him stay.
I don't think I kicked him off. I might have. Did I kick you off, or did you drop off on your own?
What happened?
Oh, I might have kicked you off because I was trying. I don't think I did, though.
This show's tough, Logan. You get a wrong answer, you're cut.
Boom. Yep,
I know, dude. It's like
weakest link.
Put the flame out.
Absolutely.
It said, your session has been terminated.
Boom.
Said boom.
Hey, props for getting back on fast. I would have been like 20 minutes later. I mean, that was.
I was thinking about not showing and just letting Rob figure it out, but.
No. Would have been too nice. let's see. We got a lot of love.
That was
a ton of questions here. This one's from Jason Myers, and he's referencing the Connecticut Fuerte. And he says this past year has seen many companies come out with a quote-unquote fuller-bodied Connecticut, but you were ahead of the game on that one with the Connecticut Forte. And when you released the Connecticut Forte, that was in 2000?
2 years ago. Yeah, 14. 2 years ago.
14, okay.
Yeah.
So he says, have the sales of the cigar increased over the past year? He's curious if the other companies doing, you know, a stronger Connecticut, if that's impacted you at all.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, and to say that I was the first one to kind of do it, I think I was the first one to revisit it. It's not like, you know, people haven't tried that before. Mm-hmm. I probably build it in the right context and promote it in the right context, and it was a good cigar, Connecticut with a little bit more. But it was also the biggest cigar that everybody told me not to make. They just said, you know, I gave it to other people in the industry. I'm like, what do you think? And they're like, oh, God, don't make this. This will kill your company. It'll be horrible. Nobody wants Connecticut with a little bit more. And I would say that, I mean, and I've heard, I mean, you know, the other ones that have come out, and I won't say anything bad about another cigar ever, but basically it has certainly helped me because you don't want to be the only guy doing it. You know, it's like the Apple model. You don't want to be the only one creating an MP3 player or a thinner laptop. You let, you know, someone else pay for some of that market share and get exposure. And I would say that, you know, since I brought it on the market, it has steadily increased. And I think particularly, you know, last July when a couple other companies put one out, for whatever reason, that has certainly got more people into mind. So I can thank them for helping, you know, raise the market awareness a little bit. And I think my cigar, you know, the Connecticut Forte definitely stands about that. And it doesn't hurt really that a lot of the critics, the guys that review cigars, still say that that's really kind of, you know, a benchmark cigar if you're talking about that category. So yeah, it's helped me quite a bit. You know, the thing is that, and I was talking about this with a retailer the other day, you know, nobody really walks into a humidor, even though Connecticut's the best-selling cigar out there, nobody walks into a humidor and randomly picks up a Connecticut they don't know anything about. So it requires more hand-holding on the side of the retailer to go, hey man, if you really like this, you really should try this Nomad Connecticut Fuerte. You know, it was what, number 11 on the consensus list, got great reviews and everything like that. But the guys still, they're not in tune with that. Your Connecticut smokers aren't as in tune with the overall market ratings, all that other stuff, as much as some other smokers are on other blends. So the hurdle was really getting people to try it. And by the rest of the market, big names all of a sudden putting out Connecticuts with a little bit more, that helped me a lot because it really, it raised awareness. They're having XYZ Connecticut, and they're like, it was okay. We're like, well, you got to go try the Nomad, because he actually came out in January 2012 or 2014 with it, and that's really, you know, a lot of go-to cigar, you know, people go-to for that category. So, yeah, that helped me a lot, and I'm glad. I think it's a great category, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting category that, and you're right. I mean, it's people have dabbled in that, I assume, for it kind of ebbs and flows with the industry, but of the ones that I've smoked, I mean, yours is it's far and away the best.
You haven't,
and I'm not just saying.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have. Thank you. You're welcome.
It is very good, Connecticut.
Yeah, it's of, and I mean, compared to the stuff that came out last year, I mean, it's far and away better. Which is, and again, I'm not just saying that just because you're here. It's it really takes a Connecticut, and you still get those Connecticut, the stuff you'd expect from a Connecticut, but it's ramped up without running that over.
It's crazy hard though. We've talked about it. I think we talked about it 2 years ago. I mean, it's crazy hard to do to take a Connecticut and give a little bit more and not lose. You know, how much can you add that you don't lose the subtleties, the floral notes, everything that make a Connecticut great? And I was, you know, it was a challenge to go back and do a Connecticut in the therapy line and do something different because I'm like, I really thought I had the perfect Connecticut with a little bit more. So to go back and revisit Connecticut again was a little bit tough. Once we kind of played with the San Andreas as a binder in the therapy line, it became a different kind of Connecticut. Not even a Connecticut with a little bit more necessarily, because the San Andreas is fairly sweet in that blend. But it's crazy hard to make. And I think some people try to, I don't want to say they phoned it in, but you know, everybody's palate's different. Some people like some other ones, but I was surprised when a lot of big guys made runs at it, how many people still came back to mind and said, you know what, you know, I had one of the big guys come to me at the show last year and actually say, look, the only reason you don't have the number one selling Connecticut in the nation is because nobody knows who the hell you are yet. And I'm like, wow, great. Go tell some people. I mean, you know.
Well, here's some cards. You can pass them out.
Yeah, exactly. Just put them in your booth. Put them in your booth, you know. So, yeah, I'm really proud of that. And again, I mean, I think that was the – I didn't listen to everybody. I liked it. I wanted a Connecticut, but I didn't want a bland Connecticut. I wanted some extra flavors, but not lose the subtleties that come along with the Connecticut. I didn't lose the people that wanted a Connecticut with a little bit more. The audience I really got, and I've said it a million times, is that – it was the guys that gave up on Connecticut. It's the guys that were smoking medium and fulls and said, you know what, I don't like Connecticuts. There's not enough flavor. And that was the raging audience that I really got out of it. And I'm happy that it worked out. And I'm happy that I stuck to my guns and didn't change the blend, didn't do anything. I thought, you know, screw it. I'm going to put it out. I like it. We'll see if there's an audience.
You got me mid-sip there. Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously worked out. Speaking of blendings, you were talking, you know, about your process there a little bit. Question here from Marty Messina. He's curious, where do you draw your inspiration from when you're blending?
Well, initially it was just, you know, having to go through and discover new tobaccos. The entire thing with Nomad has been my journey of learning new tobaccos. So when I went to Nicaragua, it's playing with those. The portfolio, I'd say the last three blends largely came together because I'm first and foremost a cigar, you know, fan, an enthusiasta, as someone told me one time, which I thought was a great, great line. So I smoke other people's cigars, and I get manufacturers every time I do an interview, like, oh, don't say you smoke other people's cigars. You're not supposed to say that. And I'm like, look, there's great cigars out there, you know. So what happens is that, you know, we have different palates now. Our humidors aren't one cigar, one size. They're 12 to 15 different cigars. And what am I in the mood for? So if I find myself going to, because I want a particular profile, and I find myself constantly going to one or two other people's cigars, then I go, you know what, that's something I, you know, that's a flavor that's missing in my own portfolio, so that's what I go to do. The 8613 was a perfectly good example about that. That was a rustic style cigar focusing on three tobaccos from Nicaragua. I used a different, I didn't use the same three that everybody else was playing with. I used Ometepe, which was a little bit more rare. But I wanted that rustic kind of style cigar, medium, that just had some really good flavors to it. So that's kind of how I decide what to blend, what's missing in my portfolio, what flavor profile I want. Is it, you know, I'm on the golf course during the day, I'll usually have a classic or I'll have the Connecticut Fuerte, you know, what fits into their palate-wise. And I approach it all cooking. I go, okay, well, this is kind of what I'm trying to do, and I start playing with the tobacco to try to get that wheelhouse. It's a little harder now, because I don't want to be the guy with, you know, 35 blends out there. So you have to look at, what do you sunset? What do you get rid of? You know, it's easy to go back on the earlier blends because I'm much better now than I was in the beginning. I look back at the way I was in the beginning and it was like, you know, okay, give me these three flavors. But now I'm like getting into, you know, what was the fermentation process? What priming is it? What farm did it come from specifically? So it's like looking at anything you do in life, whatever your job is, you look at your earliest work and you look at where you are now and you're like, man, when I first started, I, you know, so I look that I can improve those blends, but I feel super comfortable now that I've got, you know, a solid portfolio that whatever your wheelhouse is, I have a cigar that's in that wheelhouse. And if I just get people to try it, it probably works into their rotation. So that's how I fill what's a gap in my portfolio. But now it's not so much gaps, although I am releasing a new cigar that is not in my portfolio right now. But it's improving on previous things. That they're dramatic. They're totally different blends. You know, you take what you learned.
Interesting, because you actually mentioned this, and I don't remember if you mentioned this while the show was live when we were doing sharing our pairings last week, or if it was off air. But you had mentioned that if you went back, because we were talking about the lot 1386, your first limited edition. And
1386.
The 8613 is the one that's out now.
Yes, that was a great cigar.
The 1386 was your first limited edition, and you had even mentioned if you had access to that exact same tobacco now and you went and blended it, it would probably end up being a very different cigar.
It would have. It definitely would have. I mean, that was definitely a very a guy that's in Nicaragua, myself, that didn't know what the hell he was doing with Nicaraguan tobacco and putting together a blend. And I leaned on the Lajero that we had found that I was not able to find any more of. And I leaned on Jalapa probably more than I would have. It's an excellent cigar. I love it. But, you know, now what I know now, it's almost like I would get in my own way. I don't think I would have put out that same blend. I think I would have got in my own way and made it even more complex. When the beauty of that cigar, and somewhat of the 8613, which is why I just transposed the numbers and named it, is the simplicity of showcasing just a handful of tobaccos, in that case three, and same thing with 8613. So yeah, I probably would not have blended the same cigar now. I know I wouldn't have. I would have taken out some Jalapa. I probably would have added another tobacco, and it would not have been the same cigar. Would it have been better? I don't know. It just would have been a different cigar.
Yeah. I personally prefer the 8613 myself. Logan, have you smoked the 8613?
I have.
Which do you prefer out of the two?
1386.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
a really good cigar.
Yeah, I think they're both really good. The 1386 for me, like the 8613 has more spice to it and a little bit more body to it, I felt like.
Well, it's got the Ometepe in it. Yeah. The 1386, the original, did not. And like I said, there's much more Jalapa, much more. There's a lower priming Jalapa in the original 1386. So they're different cigars. The 8613 reminds me of that cigar because it's similar as far as wheelhouse, but it is a different cigar. Plus, if you can find the 1386, I mean, heck, it's aged, 4 years now or whatever it is. So I think I only have maybe 3-4 boxes of them.
I've got one left.
I'm done.
I've got one, and it's the reason I have it is because I think Logan, you and I were maybe the first people to smoke it.
We were.
We did it. We did an exclusive sale through the SigFed store back in the
day. That kind of pissed me off because I actually went under the warehouse to go order them, and there's a 5 limit or whatever, and I'm like, I know there's 15 boxes left, and I go to order them, and 12 of them are gone, and because SigFed picked them up, and I'm like, what the hell?
We had at least 100. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, that was pretty successful, I think, if memory serves. So you had talked about. You smoke other things, and what was the
term that you used? Enthusiado. I can't take credit for that, but I find aficionado just too pretentious. I've smoked cigars for close to 15 years now. Aficionado is just—it's just too pretentious. Same thing when I did my seminars. I called them hacking the blend because it's just like that's how I feel like I'm doing it. But yeah, enthusiado. So yeah, I've smoked cigars and I still smoke other people's cigars. The only time I don't smoke anybody else's cigars is if I'm really heavy into the blending. Mm-hmm. I just don't want any influences at that point. I just don't want anything else. But other than that, like when the show comes out and all my stuff's done and I'm not working on anything else for a while, that's when it's exciting for me to try all the new stuff that other people have out and see what they did. And I would love to be like a reviewer because I like the idea of checking out their cigars. And, I'm one of those people, it's like watching a sci-fi movie. You say this is the rules in your sci-fi movie, I'm going with it. If you say this is what you went for in a cigar, then I'm okay with that. And then I may not like that cigar, it may not be my profile, but I'll respect some good cigars that nailed what they were going for. So I'm excited to do that, to try new cigars. And there are a lot of cigars out there that I still smoke today that I think are great, great cigars.
So in that vein, question here from Marty Messina. So is there a dream collaboration out there that you have not been able to create yet? And I'll paraphrase this question a little bit. Somebody out there in the industry that you would love to work with?
That's tough because it's more so on the behind the scenes. It's more the blenders and stuff that are there at some of the factories that really just don't get any credit, or mm-hmm. I should say enough mm-hmm. credit, that I think those are the people to me that I gravitate towards. Are there other manufacturers that I think put out outstanding products? Yes. The thing with the collaboration, though, is that, I just don't know that how successful they are, because you would have to be so on the same page to do a collaborative effort. And I just don't know that you don't compete against each other at some point. And do you really put out the best product possible? I think some people do, and I think you can. There are some guys that I respect a lot, whether I'd be able to blend with them or not. I'm not on their level. And, B, I just don't know. I just don't know how that would look. But, heck, I'm just happy enjoying their cigars they put out.
that's good. That's an honest answer. You're not necessarily – just because there's somebody out there in the industry that you respect the cigars they make doesn't mean you're trying to work with them and make a buck off of it. So that's – I respect that. Not that all collaborations are people just trying to make a buck.
I think there's, look, I think if you find, I've been working, James at Black Label and I have started doing some stuff a little bit together, And I mean, if you see eye to eye on something like that, look, there are a lot of people that, you know, the manufacturer, I mean, and they'll tell you outright, there's a blender right behind them that is very, very talented, that can steer them in different ways. It was no secret, you know, on the Connecticut Fuerte, who I was playing with and stuff like that with Victor, there's a lot of good pairings. I just don't know the manufacturers enough. There are a couple, though, that I mean, I could see that would work. You just have to, it has to be the right fit. It's like a marriage. You know, it has to be the right fit. Just because you both make great cigars doesn't mean you necessarily can blend cigars together.
Yeah, it's just, you make great cigars doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in love. Right? Yeah. I mean, there's got to be that basis of love. Logan, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, if I could blend something with anyone, it would be Steve Sokka, because I think it would be awesome to drive him nuts. And just to see how angry he would get.
Oh, I mean, if you hold my feet to the fire and say who, if I was to pick one person who I would love to blend a cigar with, it's a short list. But at the very high point of the list, and everybody else would be well below that, would be Eladio Davidoff.
There you go. Yeah, if you're gonna blend, go right up to the top, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had cigars he's created that will never see the light of day that he's made for himself, and they're some of the best cigars I've ever had in my life.
Okay. All right, so this question's from Stefan, and it's a little bit deeper, and I want to make sure that I read this question correctly. He says, in your opinion, at what point will the cigar industry hit a saturation point with new blends, or will there always be a trend of what's next, while losing regular production blends that are only a couple of years old?
That's a great question. I mean, it's something that we talk about a lot, you know, as manufacturers, and I'm sure you guys talk a lot. I mean, I honestly don't believe that we need any more new cigars. And everybody's like, oh my God, you can't say that. But, you know, I look, you guys have known me long enough that I'm going to say whatever my opinion is. But, I mean, basically, you know, there's a lot. There's never been a better time to be a cigar smoker. There's a lot of great cigars out there right now. And if you can't find a cigar that you like, I just think there's no hope for you. You're just not getting steered in the right direction. You know, the pressure of what's new is really leaving behind a lot of great cigars. And I think if I made a panel of people way smarter than me, if I took the Eladios of the world and the Sokkas of the world and stuff like that, and I created a panel and somebody says, oh, you know, here's a cigar that was released yesterday and there's no cigar like it, those guys that have smoked, you know, for a long time and say, you know what? Try these four. They're pretty damn close, you know. So I don't know. I mean, every once in a while you get somebody that does something truly new, but we're playing with a finite amount of tobacco, and I think marketing comes into play much more than people are willing to admit. I think you know, scarcity, what's new, and the problem with what's new is that you know the question really should be what's new to you. You know, not what just hit the shelves. What haven't you tried? If you're a medium smoker or a medium plus smoker, you know, you haven't had the S307. That's a box press Sumatra. It's aged. It's a great cigar. You should try it. So I think that, you know, right now that, you know, the retailers don't like it because shelf space is full. So if they're going to bring in a new blend, they're either probably pulling out one of your other blends or they have to pull out somebody else's blend. So I think it's very difficult right now. It's also hard to figure out, you know, Saka and I were talking about this in Nicaragua, and I was saying that I think the lifespan of a new production blend right now is about 18 months, that you're going to get the sales, you're going to vamp up, and then you've got whatever plateau you have, and I think it's 18 months for someone like me, because when I push it out to 300 stores or whatever I have, by the time they get it, it takes me about, you know, 18 months, you know, the first year, a bunch of them take it, then some, you know, on the sidelines, and then they finally bring it in. I think if you're somebody bigger in the market, though, that when you release a cigar, everybody takes it immediately, I think you've got 9 months before all of a sudden that number starts dropping down and everybody's like, what's new? What's new? You know, I mean, you know, I've seen guys like Saka and stuff put out a cigar and like, hey, what do you got next? He's like, I just put out this cigar. So it's difficult to figure out how much tobacco should I acquire when I may be 18 months down the line and the numbers start going down on this a little bit. And I think some companies have adapted that well from a sales standpoint, but the pressure to constantly put out what's new, I mean, it used to be like, hey, you got one new cigar a year, you were good. Now it's like, if you're not putting out three blends a year along with another LE or something, like you're just not topical anymore. And I think that puts an unfair pressure on the manufacturers and an unfair pressure on the retailers because they're trying to manage their stock as well.
What do you think about that, Logan?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I do agree with the shelf life of a blend is, I mean, you know, I don't know about 9 months, but you take something like Saka, right? Like everyone tries that cigar, right? And everyone's going to try it. So sales are going to be huge. And then there's going to be people from that group that like it, right? And I think you can get anyone to try a cigar basically once. And then it's not too hard if it's a good cigar to get them to try it again. But it's the hard part is that third, the fourth, the fifth, a box sale time. And I've said this on Cigar Chat before. If I was to ever launch a cigar company, it would be a quasi John Huber original model where you do a limited edition each year and you do a core blend every year. And maybe that's two a year, but what you do is you wait 2 years. And then if it's not selling, you kill it. You bring something else on because then that gives you credence to come back and say, oh, you remember that first cigar I did that everyone really loved? Well, then it comes back as a limited edition, right? So it's something, and unfortunately, that's the market that we're playing to, and I don't see the market, and well, unless the FDA takes the market in a different direction, which it will if anything happens, but, I mean, that's the way it's happening, right? Old smokers that smoke a box of Macanudos every 2 months, unfortunately, those people are dying, and people like me, assuming my blood pressure stays in check, are going to be the vast majority. So, I mean, that's where the market's going, and I think companies are going to have to adapt and realize that's the way it is. Because I think it can be done, right? I mean, I think it's a little more creative, right? Like, making a cigar that's going to stand the test of time is very difficult. You know what I mean? That's very hard.
And I agree with that. And there's a part of me that likes it from the standpoint, like, it's the business side of me that doesn't like it. The part of me that is having an absolute blast blending and playing with different tobaccos and experimenting, man, that kid in me loves it because I love blending cigars. I love coming out with new cigars. If you'd asked me, you know, are you going to release four in a year? Like, I would have said, hell no. Last year I released four. I'll probably have four this year. It's just because you get to play with the tobacco and put it out. But you have to change. The business model has changed. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, that is the model. That's what's going on.
Did I hear you correctly that you're going to have four new releases this year?
I might.
That's a lot of cigars.
That is a lot of cigars.
Well, I had four last year.
Yeah.
So, I already have three, whether the fourth one comes out or not. You know, I've got an LE that I'm coming out with at the show. I'm releasing a San Andreas cigar probably right around June. It's just laying down, and quite honestly, it's just San Andreas just needs to lay down a lot longer in the aging room than a lot of other cigars. From what I've found. So, you know, what I don't have a schedule saying I have to release this. It's just that I have blends done and cigars rolled for the possibility of it. Whether they're ready or not, we'll see.
Interesting. There's several people asked, obviously, that question, you know, what can we look forward to in the future? Guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with Fred Rui of Nomad Cigars. And Fred's given us some very candid answers, and we always appreciate that from Fred. Logan, is this last segment brought to us by anybody?
Drew Estate.
They good.
.com.
Did you smoke that the pig, the shade pig?
I did not. I've got.
You didn't jump in the pool?
No, man. Daddy was asleep, dog. when I get uninterrupted baby time, you know,
a time away from the baby.
Time away from the baby, man. I'm getting a good 12, dog.
Yeah, you were in bed right after dinner, man.
That was after the first night of Techo, dog, and I was hurt. The coconut shovel, man.
Coconut shovel coming soon to the Cigar Federation store, I assume.
Maybe.
Yeah, it'll happen at some point. I you know, whatever. I've already trademarked it though, so if you want to use it, you have to.
I don't think you have to. Well, okay, sue me. I don't really care. Over 200 cigars. Blow me.
Okay, this is an interesting question here. This one's from Eric Johnson. Eric has been asking a lot of questions, and Eric actually has a background in working at a brewery. So Eric and I have been exchanging a lot of emails lately. He says, "Hey, Fred, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us today." And I've already thanked Fred, but Eric, thanks for following up on that. He says, "What was the final push that made you jump into developing your own brand and getting into the cigar industry?" And the follow-up question is the one that I really like. What advice would you give to Fred Rui circa 2013? If you could go back and talk to yourself, what advice?
More like circa 2000, 11.
Well, yeah, it's yeah. Wow. Well, yeah. What's the advice that you would give yourself? That's actually the question. We've talked about the other part.
Okay, Sherman, let's set the Wayback Machine. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, everything I thought was going to be easy was hard, and everything I thought was going to be hard was easy. So, I mean, I was, as far as the first part of the question, what got me into it, look, I was just like everybody else. I was a big cigar fan, loved smoking cigars. You know, people are saying, when are you going to do your own cigar? When are you going to do your cigar? I'm looking at humidor going, well, we don't need any more cigars. But, you know, I went down to DR. It was pretty much just like, I felt like the kid in the Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, I mean, like I'm in the field, I'm getting to see tobacco, I'm playing around. And so I've a lot of times I've taken hobbies and I've turned them into businesses and then either sell them or just play with them or whatever. So it just seemed like kind of like the one of the last items on my bucket list to go, you know, I'm just going to make a cigar. I don't know if it's going to be a business. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to make a cigar. And then it just kind of took off. And then the whole journey though was just a learning experience of, you know, it takes me a year and a half of playing with the tobacco. I didn't have a San Andreas until the H-Town, which is really came in the middle of me working on what is the cigar coming out next. Is that, you know, I think Coop asked me years ago, like, when are you going to have a Maduro? And I'm like, well, I just don't understand the tobacco enough to blend it yet. I mean, I've played with it, but until I really get my arms around it and really understand what's it going to do, how's it going to age, how's it going to take it out of the gate, you know, so that whole journey, I mean, if I was to go back, I don't know what I would do different. I mean, I don't think I'm the typical case study of a guy starting up a cigar company either. I mean, there are some things that I know that I did real well, which was, you know, go to Nicaragua, check the ego at the door. You know, they're always going to know more than you. Learn all you can. When they see you're genuinely interested in learning the industry, then they're forthcoming with a lot of information. I probably would have been on the road a lot sooner. You know, my entire first year and a half, I was not out. I was not doing, you know, like the blending seminars I have now or doing the events that way. So I probably would have done that a lot sooner. I probably would have immersed myself in a broader range of tobaccos earlier on than I did. But, you know, back then I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So, you know, it's all been a journey of learning of it. And this is the outcome of it. But I don't think I'm the typical case study of it. I mean, it was the company by the second year was, you know, making money and paying for everything. So, I don't know what I would do different other than I probably would have concentrated on brick and mortar sooner as far as personal appearances. You know, as far as people, I get people asking me, you know, what would I do right now? You know, if you were to start it right now, I'd say wait. You know, wait and see what the FDA does. I mean, you know, it's going to have implications. The question is it something that we can work around? And if so, how are we going to work around it? It's going to be a messy fight. And it's a shame because the people that are going to pay for it are going to be the consumers ultimately.
Interesting. Logan, if you could go back to Logan and your smoking Logan days and when you were, what was the first site that you wrote for?
No, Smoking Logan was first.
And then after that, you wrote for, it was like Cigar Inspector or something like that?
No, it was Cigar Insights with their boy Dale, man.
I never met or talked to him.
I thought you did. Dude, why is your room so smoky looking?
Because I'm smoking, bro.
No, man. It's just like the way.
Well, the sun is coming through.
Jesus
is
shining his light on you right now. Just it's like, oh, Robbie.
It is kind of awesome. There it is. It's because we're getting. I'm getting.
Oh, there
glare.
We go.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like it. That's it. It's very like omnipotent.
It's epic, dude. I feel special now.
I don't know what advice would I give like 2010 Logan.
Dude, if you started growing your beard back in 2010, it would be so sweet right now.
Oh, my God. It would be horrible. There'd be, like, birds living in it. I don't know if I would really do anything different. I mean, cigar-wise, right? Like, I think things have turned out pretty good. I mean, the only thing I think I would change is that I would have, instead of waiting so long, it's been 3 years since I've been down to Nicaragua, but I think I would have made trips earlier. That would be one thing I would have changed.
No one's asked me, but I've got.
Well,
I've got
I was actually going to ask.
What would you do, Rob?
I was actually going to say, Rob, what would you do? But you were being.
Well, you know, back in the day when I started Triple R, there was one day where I got this message, a direct message on Twitter.
It was like,
hey, man, you know, we should work together, blah, blah, blah. I would have not responded to that message. That's the one thing, and that message was from. at Smoke and Logan. I would have avoided that message.
But look how great of a journey we've had, sir.
It's been fun. It has been fun.
My wife asked. You want to hear something funny? My wife's like, you know, we were talking last night, and she's like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my friend and do this and that. And I was like, I don't really have any friends. I was like, I've got, like, acquaintances and stuff. She's like, would you hang out with Rob if he was close? I said, probably not.
I was getting prepared to feel like a jerk just now because you were like, oh, yeah, Rob's a good friend. But no, he says probably not.
I was like, Rob's like the internet friend that you hang out with, but you don't really hang out with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, and you don't return his emails or text messages or anything
like
that.
That's not true at all. You emailed me 3 times today and I responded within 10 minutes.
You did. You did. I promised our audience, if you go back and you look at any of the posts I said leading up to the show, that Logan and I would quarrel about something, so that's I had to get that out of the way. I didn't want to.
Yeah, we're quarreling.
I didn't want to not promise or not follow up on a promise I made to the audience.
Under promise and over deliver.
Well, there you go. question here. This one's from Stefan Lindblad. Lindblad, actually, Stefan, I got your name right that time. And House of Emilio is now Boutiques United, correct?
Correct.
Anyway. So his question is, with all the change that happened in that area, call it House of Emilio, call it Boutiques United, over the past year or so, can you talk about what factored into your decision to stay with that group?
Ooh, good question.
You know, the concept is great. We're able to, I like everybody in the group. We're able to leverage, you know, I mean, there are certain things if you're going to have your own company, particularly when you're starting out, that are very difficult. When you start talking about the back end of product and bonded warehouses and shipping and invoicing and collecting payments and stuff like that, you know, I think the confusion in the beginning is that it was made into a bigger entity than it, that everybody's trying to figure out, well, what is it and how is it and things like that. And it was really our way to leverage some of those efforts, you know, both with internal sales teams and just logistics back end. If I had not had that, and that remains true today, by the way, if I had to worry about all that, and I wouldn't be able to go to Nicaragua for 2 months and work solid on blends or go to DR and stuff like that. So to just concentrate on the part of the business that to me, is diminishing the back end. I mean, obviously, when somebody orders something, that shipment needs to happen and stuff. But if I was myself working with, you know, 5-6 employees or whatever and coordinating invoicing and hiring someone to do that and hiring someone to do that, that would take time for me from blending cigars, going out, meeting people, engaging on social media, doing the seminars, you know, that kind of thing. For me, it's what, you know, and it's true of any business, but I mean, you know, what's the best use of your time? The best use of my time, although, yeah, it is money, you know, creating an invoice and sending it out and collecting a payment, but it's not the best use of my time as far as creating a cigar company and putting out new blends. If I had to do that, I'd be lucky to have half the blends that I ever created right now because I'd be shipping boxes and following up on phone calls or chasing money or whatever it may be. So from that aspect, it's great. I believe in the concept because I believe that all the people that are involved in there are creating great products. And, you know, we recently just brought in Black Label. James has his own factory down in Nicaragua, and I think he's doing some great stuff out of that factory. I don't know that you could ever create that today as far as, you know, we just had a meeting where all of us are in the same room, conference room, smoking cigars, brainstorming ideas. And it also works is that, you know, if I get into a bind on something, you know, like, well, I don't know how to do X, Y, Z or whatever like that, someone in that group has done it because we've all independently run our own companies. We're still responsible 100% for our companies. The distribution company doesn't make a decision on anything to do with our companies, our blends, anything like that. So it's really a back-end infrastructure that works perfect for me that allows me to focus. Could I take it internal? I certainly could, but, you know, I've run the numbers and for what would be a nominal amount of money probably back in my pocket, to me is far out, you know, exceeded by the convenience of not having to hassle with all that. And that's why I think it's a good model for us and remains to be.
Interesting. I like that. It's like you were prepped for that question, but I didn't prep you for it.
It's a legitimate question. I mean, it is. I mean, people ask, particularly once you get big enough, people say, well, why are you still there? What are they still bringing to the table? But they, like I said, that infrastructure for me to have to watch that on a daily basis and, you know, not be able to work on blends, not be able to be in a shop, you know, smoking cigars, meeting people, that trade-off is not worth bringing everything internal by far.
Absolutely. All right, so I've got a question here, and I don't even get it. And it's a silly question, but I kind of want to know the answer. This is from Corey Zerby. And he says, Fred, would you be willing to grow a mullet for the ability to eat as much bacon as you want for the rest of your life without any health repercussions?
No. No. Look, I already eat bacon, and whatever the repercussions are, they're going to be. I mean, I have, even before cigars, it's like, you know, live your life without any regrets. Just, you know, I mean, try and make some good choices. And obviously, you know, I could drop a few pounds and everything else like everybody else can. But, I would not be able to sport the mullet. I'm sorry.
No mullet. No. Logan, no. Do you ever have a mullet?
I mean, I basically got one right now, man.
Well, just because you have long hair doesn't mean it's a mullet. It's long up on top, too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's long in the front. It's long in the back.
Yeah, just you're not.
You're just party everywhere.
Yeah, you're just. I rocked the hell out of a mullet in like 7th and 8th grade.
I could totally. Ooh. Do you have like a school yearbook picture with you?
Yeah, I'm never.
It to me, so I could laugh.
I'll never share it because
I want to see that. I want to see
negative because that would turn into like meme central, and I'm not going to do it. But I had like the legit flat top. With the hair in the back. Now, keep in mind, this was like 1990, I don't know, whatever year. 1990.
Was 1990, was this high school?
Junior high.
Now, where'd you go to junior high?
In the Bay Area, California. I went to Juan Crespi Junior High School.
Cool. We just got enough info to find it, Logan.
I will guarantee you there is no way that that's online anywhere.
Well, that was like
in 1990. Oh, that's just...
Challenge is extended, right? Anyway.
We know the school, so all we got to do is go get a whole school, get a hold of a yearbook. I think we can make this happen.
Well, based on the way that school was run when I was there, I doubt that they have any sort of archives or even
ghetto?
A website.
I bet it was ghetto.
It was a little bit, yeah. It was a little bit. So we've got, time for one more question, Logan?
Yeah, why not?
Is that it? It's over already?
Yeah, that's the first 58 minutes. I've been saving this question. And this one's from Patrick from Hardly Clerkin here. He says, when and if you retire from the cigar industry, Fred, what do you want your legacy or the legacy of your brand to be?
Oh, I'm too small of a guy to really go with that. I mean, I think I guess the only thing would be that, you know, I was a cigar smoker that got to go out and, you know, live the dream of making cigars and have a brand. All I ever wanted was a legit shot. You know, once I finally decided to really go into it, was to create blends, and it's been an incredibly rewarding experience. And I think for a guy that, you know, a single guy that you know from Wisconsin didn't have a pedigree, wasn't born in the tobacco industry or anything like that, I'm proud of what very nominal, tiny mark I've made, as far as, you know, getting cigars out there and having people like them. So, yeah, I mean, if I can do it, then I think anybody can, as long as you put the time in and put the time in genuinely trying to learn.
It's a very diplomatic answer. I like it.
Dude, she found, I think Bob Dog's on the
if they found
the
my
trail
picture,
dog.
That's awesome. That's great. No, I'm glad that I answered the question. Fred, we're right up against it. So thank you again for hanging out with us. Really do appreciate it. Guys, thanks for tuning in on the Armed Forces Radio Network. As I say every week, you guys are built to do something I'm not built to do. So thank you for putting your safety on the line to keep us safe and fight for our freedoms around the world. We will be back next week. We're coming out on a Monday next week. We've got
what is up with these crazy days, man?
Baseball season. We've got the boys from Atelier are going to be here. We've got the whole crew, so that's going to be fun.
On Monday?
Yeah, on Monday. Guys, you can find us at CigarFederation.com. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend and stay safe.
Juan Crespi.
Did somebody really find my fucking picture here?
I think, I mean, dude, Bob Dog is on that fucking shit.
Oh, like, we'll find it. We will.
Well, he's
find
got
it.
Something. Yeah, that's the right school, Bob.
Juan Crespi.
This is, oh, man. Yeah, but I haven't signed up for this thing. So, yeah, you're not going to find it.
Don't worry.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we're going to find it.
It's not going to happen. I've changed my name, actually,
now.
Since then. I had a different last
it's
name.
A mission
that's
now.
Not true.
That's absolutely true.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are you being, like, are you seriously?
No, this is a, you're getting a peek behind the curtain.
Are you, I mean, for real, like, not bullshit?
100%. 100%.
Like, witness protection or what?
No, it's not witness protection. I had a different last name.
Oh, we'll find it.
And I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Well, you don't have to tell me, but I kind of want to know because I feel like we've been internet friends for 6 years now. And you think this would have came up in fucking conversation.
Boom.
But you won't even have a beer with him if he lived by you. So
that, I mean, see, there you go. That's, see, really, that's.
But I'd let you come over and hang out in the pool as long as you help me clean it and shit, you know? No, oh, I would definitely have you and Dana over for dinner and do like adult things. And as long
whoa,
as
whoa, whoa, whoa!
I don't mean like that. Whoa. I mean like,
dude,
hang out,
Fred, I am so uncomfortable
we
right
are
now.
We're in the after-hours show now.
This is
like a
awkward.
Freaking, like, I'm not talking like freaking, what do they call it? Swinging? I'm not doing that. I'm talking about having nice conversation.
Yeah, you got to put your keys in a bowl. That's all I know.
Yeah, Logan, I'm sure you're a good-looking guy, but I don't see that happening.
I'm not. That's not what I meant. But
anytime in the
be all douchey
future.
About it. It's cool.
Fred, here's a question from Tripp. I wanted to ask this earlier, but I didn't get around to it. Since you talked about and you're actually willing to talk about other cigars in the industry that you enjoy. What were some of the releases outside of the stuff that you smoked and you found yourself enjoying?
You broke up on the last part. What was the time frame of the cigars that...
Last year.
I was really happy that Crown Heads, you know, took the Las Calaveras and made it into a production cigar again. Mm. I thought the La Curiosa was great.
I think you're the only person that said that.
Really?
Yeah,
I like it. I
don't mean it like rude, but you're like the first person I've ever heard that has said that.
I was real excited with, but you know what, Sokka and Nick both were putting out. Mm-hmm. I was curious to that. I'm a big fan of Dion Stuck. Guy just nails so many, you know, palettes. I just think that he's very good on his blend. I thought that the Avo Synchro, I thought they did an excellent job on a Nicaragua. I think Davidoff Nicaragua was also another excellent cigar out of Nicaragua. kudos to Davidoff when they did the Nicaragua to not dumb it down. You know, that they actually really embraced the Nicaraguan tobacco. I really thought that they might try to play a little safer because of Davidoff's portfolio, and I thought they did a good job on that. I think that, speaking of Skip Martin's Neanderthal, I think is a great cigar. I think that one's really good as well. You know, there's quite a few, you know, they're in the final four also. Matter of fact, I think we have to go toe-to-toe. I actually liked All My Exes. I thought that was a really good cigar by Ezra Zion. I think James, he's got some stuff that he's just really put out that I think are some really good cigars. I know he's done a project for you guys as well. I think that what he's done in that factory in a short period of time is pretty amazing, really. How fast, you know, running a factory is not an easy job. I mean, just you know, forget about, you know, acquiring tobacco and everything. It's just running a factory with any consistency. Still coming out some great blends, right out of it. Impressive. So there's just a couple.
Yeah, one cigar that I find myself going back to, and I actually went out and picked some up because I didn't love it as much as everybody else did right when it first came out, is the La Mission from the Atelier.
Dude, that cigar is fucking tits.
Yeah, no, it's I've come around on it big time. That's a really, really good cigar. And I'm kind of raging on this. I mean, this was a Toro, and I fired this up just before we started the show, so I've been kind of hitting the cigar pretty hard, and I still get a ton of flavor out of it. I'm smoking a lot faster than normal on this, so it's performing.
Yeah, that's
pretty
well. Pennsylvania Broadleaf. I was real happy with that. That actually outsells in the therapy line. That probably outsells the other two in the line. Mm. And matter of fact, I mean, I try to keep 6-8 months worth of stock in the States, then another 6-8 months over at the factory, and I think we were 35-45 days into it, and I already had to move over the other stuff because of the reorders. So that one's done very well.
Yeah, this is nice. I liked the Connecticut as well. I haven't smoked the Habano yet, and I know John liked the Habano when he smoked it during the sharing our pairings. But that 8613, I think that might be – that and the C276 are my favorite cigars that you've made.
Yes, yeah. I would say probably the Connecticut Forte, the C276.
I always forget about the Forte.
8613.
I always forget about that too.
Hey, I always forget about the Forte, and I need to revisit it because I haven't smoked it, I think, since we did a review. So I'm gonna have to get some more of those. Logan, you got those in the store?
Dude, I think we got everything Nomad in the store.
You got those in the store? I might have to get some of those because I do like a Connecticut.
I know a guy.
You know a guy. So I'm going to have to, I'm gonna
we know
have to look
people.
Into that.
We know. I'll make more. I'll make more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. What's a crunch all you want. We'll make more. What was that? That was an ad for something.
Oh, I don't know.
Corn nuts, maybe?
Corn nuts. I think it might be corn nuts. I didn't like corn nuts.
Yeah, I was never a big fan. So here's a question here. This one's from Harley Holmes, and he asked this during the Sharing Our Pairing show, and he asked it again today. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but I'm going to ask you, and if it's awkward, we'll move forward. But he says, what happened to the Be a Lime podcast?
You know, I just have... Yeah, it's a market. Actually, it's starting back up soon. Not necessarily the podcast, although I haven't decided what to do with that. But basically, I mean, I own a marketing company, and that's generally the only reason why I was able to do the cigar company is because I get paid to do marketing, you know, consult marketing. So Be the Lime was basically about marketing. I think I did like 6 episodes in a gap when I had time to do it. I'm definitely going to bring it back. I'm amazed how many people actually know it. Because I'll be out and I'll do an event and people sit there and go, hey, you know that you like your stuff on there. So it's all marketing. There'll be a new website probably up, I want to say within 2 weeks. Matter of fact, I just was reviewing it today. The website looks horrible. It was great when it was only a podcast, but it's going to be more articles and there'll be a lot more coming on the Be the Lime stuff. It's probably second to cigars. My biggest passion is marketing just in general. I love marketing. I love the science of marketing. I love the whole funnel process and how you market. So yeah, I'll definitely be doing more on that. That's certainly high on the priority list. Like I said, it'll probably relaunch. I don't know about the podcast part just because that takes so much time, but the site itself and the information will definitely be relaunching here in the next couple of weeks.
Interesting. Yeah, I just looked it up on iTunes and it's right there.
Yeah, I really kind of missed the boat on that because I launched it like last January. I think there's 5 or 6 episodes. it got attention right out of the gate. Apple actually had it as a featured podcast, like, wow. I mean, for a solid month until I stopped doing more, and they held it up there for about another 2 weeks afterwards, and then they finally took it off the featured list, which, as they should, because I wasn't putting out new stuff there. But, I mean, a huge response from it. Even now, even since I haven't done anything new, I still got a ton of signups through there, you know, every week that people have had it and they're asking for more information. It's just, you know, a podcast, I thought it would be easy, just, you know, do it. But, you know, there's always that behind the scenes, you know, what are you going to talk about script-wise? Yeah. And I'm a very off-the-cuff person, but that's not a subject that can necessarily go totally off-the-cuff. You have to have an outline of what you're going to talk about. So I think I created it a little bit more difficult than I needed to, but I'll definitely bring back the site. I love marketing. I really, really love marketing. And we've got some pretty high profile clients, not cigar related. And, that's my favorite thing to, you know, favorite thing to do.
So that's how you, that business is what gives you the opportunity to be out on the golf course every morning. What's your handicap?
It's an 8, although lately I haven't been playing very well to that because the cigar industry is getting in the way of my golf game. But it's you know, I don't play every day. I play Wednesday morning. I always block off Wednesday morning. I usually play on the weekends. But you know, when I travel, I was playing really well late last year. I shot like 72, 73, 74. Wow. But then, you know, I went away to Nicaragua for 2 months, then I'm on the road for 6 weeks, so then I have these huge gaps before I can play, and you just can't maintain your game. But I don't really think about work out there. I go out, and I just hit a stupid little white ball, you know, and have a good time. So it's very relaxing for me.
So when you say your handicap is an 8, what does that mean?
8 over par.
That means on a given course, I'm expected to shoot 8 over what par is.
Okay.
Which is typically 72, Rob.
Yeah. Well, no, so I know that. I know that.
I'm just making sure.
No, I know that.
I should shoot 78 to 82, somewhere in there. Sometimes you do better, sometimes you do worse. But as far as the scheme of golfers go, it's a pretty decent handicap, and that's about as good as I'm ever going to be. I mean, I'm fighting my body the whole time. The fact that I can do that is even amazing.
So I'd be sitting. My handicap would be about 28, Logan. What about you?
I mean, I haven't played in a really long time, but when I did back in college, when, you know, in my frat daddy days where I played every day and made the pledges carry the clubs, I was pretty much a bogey golfer. So I was about 18.
That's good.
Which
though.
Was, I mean, was respectable, right? But, like, yeah. I haven't played in years.
Yeah, I have.
I mean, most guys, if they go out, I mean, forget about the guys that are members of clubs that are out every day. Most guys go out, you're not going to break 100. If you're truly counting every shop and, you know, doing everything, you're just not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's usually, I would sit like in, I haven't played in like a year. I went out and bought new clubs and I played two or three times and that's it. I haven't played on them since. So I'm going to have to do that pretty soon. But yeah, I would sit around like 97, usually it's 97, 98.
That's not bad. You have to play to get better. I mean, you have to. I mean, they say you got to be playing at least three times a week or whatever like that. And I just haven't done that. I actually got better when I finally stopped caring. I used to play like, you know, 6 days a week. We lived on a golf course. I'd go out every morning. And, you know, a year later, I was hardly playing and I just went out and decided to have fun. And my handicap got a lot lower because you get over that stress of just trying to get better and better, and the pressure you put on yourself is ridiculous. It's a stupid game. I mean, you're hitting a 2-inch ball into a 4-inch cup using a stick, and someone decided in 400 yards you should only be allowed to touch the ball, you know, four times. You know, so
that's the beauty.
It's a weird game. You hit that one, just amazing. You got to go around a tree and you hook it around a tree and put it on the green, and it's that go home happy shot.
Yeah, yeah. My problem, I would usually be, you know, bogey-ish, maybe double bogey. And then I get the one hole where I just
have a blow-up hole.
Yeah, where I just completely shit the bed. And it's like, oh, God. And then usually
the 10-cup hole.
Yeah. And then the hole after that's never any good. But then you kind of – you need that one shot that gets you back into it. Anyway,
well, that's one thing that – and Logan, you might have had that in college is playing match play is really good because it teaches you to leave the bad hole behind you. Yeah. Because you're playing – you know, every hole is a point. So basically – you know, when you have a blow-up hole, the other guy won the hole, but the next hole is a brand new hole, and that helps you a lot in the game to leave your bad shots behind. And I'm at the point now that if I start out bad, I just mentally think, okay, I got a lot of good holes coming then, so that helps me a little bit. But part of the thing was just I had to go out and have fun. I'm not going to be a scratch golfer. I just know I'm not, but I can have some good rounds if I just go out there and have a good time.
Nice, nice. I've actually got some Cigar Federation golf balls.
Really? Nice.
I threw a little logo on there.
Trademark infringement.
Whatever. I didn't sell them to anybody. I just bought them for myself.
Hey,
lost half of them. You know how it is.
In the trees. So
we've got some stuff to give away. I think
how are we doing that?
We're picking six winners tonight.
I don't know. You guys just figure that out.
We've got one of those cutters, the massive, cut the Duraflame log cutters.
Actual size.
You cut your head off. We've got some 5-packs, and I know we've got a hat in there somewhere.
Do we have a hat?
You said something, maybe a hat.
Did you extend this already? And I'm to Rob?
No.
I haven't got any.
Well, he doesn't have the cutters yet.
Oh.
I don't have the cutter. So Wait a minute. In my defense, I found out I was on the show like 3 days ago.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I got a flask.
Overnight.
Specifically
for
the golf course.
Nothing says you're an alcoholic on the go than getting somebody a flask.
Absolutely. This is true.
So we've got a ton of stuff. I think we should just pick winners, and nobody's going to know what they get until they get it.
I'm cool with that.
So I've picked three based on the questions. And in no particular order, you guys have to email Logan at CigarFederation.com.
The cutter we got to give away. You want to give away the cutter randomly, or do you want to give it?
We got to make that someone like
you. Okay. Well, you guys figure out how you want to give away the cutter.
I don't give a fuck. Just tell me who.
I've picked three winners, based on the questions.
I don't know. I actually don't know who asked the question, but he should get a good prize. Whoever asked the question about what's new and the pressure of what's new and where the market's going, that's a damn good question.
That was Stefan. Stefan.
So don't give him anything good. Never mind. then we should do. No. Yeah. I'd give him the cutter. I thought that was a damn good question.
All right. So, Stefan, you're getting the cutter. You were on my list here.
He's getting the cutter?
Stefan's getting the cutter.
Okay.
So, Stefan, you have to email Logan. And then I also picked Marty Messina because he asked a lot of really good questions.
Stefan, you might want to remember that, Stefan, when Monday rolls around and March Madness sits there and Nomad's in there, just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Hashtag vote Nomad.
And I picked Patrick Hardley Clerken. So those are the three winners that I picked. So Stefan gets the cutter. Marty Messina and Patrick also win. But we've still got slots for two more people. So I think we should pick. Oh, we have three slots for three more people.
We'll just pick them.
Pick you pick two people randomly and then pick one podcast listener. Sound good?
You want me to just pick two at random?
They'll email you, right? Isn't that how you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, email Logan@cigarfederation.com. If we're picking one.
Said random and then one
podcast. And one podcast. So the podcast listener put podcast in the subject line. And you can pick the podcast listener however you want. Sound good?
I'm okay with that.
Boom. Email. And in the email you have to put your name, address, and...
And if you don't, you don't win anything.
Well, and they have to put in their date of birth, right?
Well, they have to put in a statement verifying that they're above legal age to purchase cigar or tobacco products in their current jurisdiction.
There you go.
You're welcome.
I wanted to make sure that that got in there because...
Yeah, that legal bird seat is very important.
Yeah, I always forget that.
That is very important.
All right, so Logan, I'm tapped out on questions. We asked all the good stuff. You got any parting questions before we move on?
Parting questions?
Fred, do you have any questions? You asked about what did we talk about for like 20 minutes last time with science fiction movies? favorite sci-fi movies. Logan, do you have any favorite science fiction movies?
We covered that.
Signs.
I think Signs is a really good movie.
Dude, the way that movie is fantastic.
What happened to M. Night Shyamalan, man?
Dude, I don't know. But The Village freaked me the fuck out.
Citizen Kane syndrome with him.
What's Citizen Kane syndrome?
Just, you know, how are you going to ever beat when you put your best work was your first one? I mean, Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the pressure to do that. I mean, Villages, I thought was a train wreck.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't.
I thought it was train wreck, creepy as shit.
It was creepy. Once you figure it out.
Once at the very end, you figure it out, and you're like, why is a guy driving in a truck down the road?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing about Villages that...
Well, spoilers, by the way.
I'm curious on Villages, though, because apparently the script leaked online before he released the film, and he called all the actors back, like, or the ones he needed, and I'm curious what the original ending was before he got all pissed off about that.
Oh, I had never heard that. And actually, wasn't Unbreakable his first movie, or was that his second?
No. That was, let's see, he had Lady in the Lake or whatever it was.
Lady in the Water, but Unbreakable was either his first or second. That was actually
I thought Unbreakable was really cool. Was really good, but it set up a sequel, and it just never happened. But I thought that was, you know, what happens to a guy that all of a sudden has these, you know, these Unbreakable, and I thought that was really well done. Sixth Sense, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I didn't see it coming. I'm at the end, I'm like, holy shit, you're right, you never saw him talking to anybody else. You know, I thought Signs was brilliant. The way he tied it together at the very end, yeah, that everything meant something at the very end, you know, with the water and everything.
That was awesome.
I thought it was brilliant. I love his work. I think he's extremely talented. I just think that it was very difficult to follow up on Sixth Sense because, you know, the days of a twist ending like that are just they're few and far between.
A good one.
You know.
Yeah. I'm trying to
fake everybody out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones because I liked Signs. I liked the first one, the hell we were just talking about with the icy.
I think that the top two twist ending movies I think that floored me. That Sixth Sense was certainly one, and The Game with Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
which I thought was just the most amazing ending. And I'm not going to give it away because if anybody's listening and you have not seen The Game with Michael Douglas. An amazing, amazing movie that the last 3 minutes of it, you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah. Check it out. That movie's legit.
You have not seen it?
Is it recent within the last 20 months?
No. That's like 15 years ago.
Well, that's...
Yeah, it's yeah, Michael Douglas.
Outstanding movie.
Sean Penn is in it.
The Game? G-A-M-E?
Yeah.
Yep. Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. Very great premise, great ending. Just a good movie, solid movie. Good Michael Douglas, one of his best movies, I think.
Yeah, that one was pretty legit. For twist endings, though, I mean, for me, it's hard to beat Usual Suspects.
I agree. Agree with that.
That to me is like, I always feel like that's the one that kind of started it all. But that was just based on my age.
I'd agree with that. It's a good movie.
But yeah, M. Night Shyamalan, man, The Happening, and
The Happening.
Yeah, exactly. And with Mark Wahlberg, It's ironic that it was called The Happening because nothing actually happened.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, don't even bother. It's bad. And then he did Lady in the Water. That wasn't any good. And there was another. Oh, the one with the Last Airbender. Come on, that was crap.
Dude, that was garbage.
Oh, it was so bad.
I don't even think I saw that. I don't even think I saw The Last Airbender.
You're a better man for having not watched it. Those were just horrible.
Dude and had the tattoos on his head.
He just did the one with the grandparents that try to kill the grandkids or the visit or something that it's called. I don't know. Anyway, we can move forward.
It's like every time Allie's parents come into town, they try to kill me.
It's understandable.
They were here this weekend or last weekend.
But you made it through.
CIA Jerry decided not to kill me.
You thwarted their attempts.
His CIA Jedi mind tricks.
Nice. Does he hook you up to a lie detector?
No, but he.
Have you ever watched pornographic videos?
I would say yes. I don't lie to him because he knows.
That's creepy. Dude.
No, seriously. Like, I mean, he's not like a lie detector, but he is like the fucker. You know.
Yeah.
Like he was a horticulturist. The only difference is he actually is a horticulturist, but. I was like, oh, man, you know, I've told you this story, but we were talking about, you know, oh, my birthday's after, you know, September 11th and September 12th. I was like, what were you doing on September 11th, Jerry? He's like, I was on a plane over to Iraq. And I go, really? For what reason? He's like, oh, helping the indigenous people learn how to grow crops. And I go, oh, I didn't realize that they had commercial flights flying during that time in and out of the U.S. And he goes, well, it wasn't a commercial flight. And I was like,
I'm sure he's glad that you're sharing this.
No, he doesn't care. I mean, he'll talk about it. Like, but yeah, I mean, he's, yeah, I probably shouldn't, but yeah, dude, he's a fucking skips.
Yeah. Moving forward. On that note, we've kind of tapped through all the questions. Fred, we're going to let you go early this week, man. You hung out with us for like 2 hours on sharing our pairings. So, you put your time in there, we'll let you go. But appreciate you hanging out and coming on short notice as well. So thank you for...
Absolutely. Yeah, email me whatever it is I'm supposed to mail you.
Yeah, I will. And that's all going to go to Logan, but I'll...
I'll
make sure you have his address. And so we'll be back on Monday, Logan, because I'm at the ballpark next Thursday, man.
All right, man.
The schedule's getting squirrely, so...
Mondays are good.
Yeah, moving forward, guys, with Cigar Chat... keep an eye on the schedule. It's either going to be Thursday or Monday. Those will be the days that we're going.
Like usual, it's all about Rob.
Well, if you want to do the show by yourself on Thursdays,
just fine. We can do it Monday.
There's actually the second two weeks, I beg your pardon, in May, I'm going to be gone too. So you're going to have to figure that out. We'll talk about that offline, but we'll see what happens there. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Really appreciate it. If you find us on CigarFederation.com, wherever you download the podcast, be sure to give us an upvote, say thumbs up, or whatever the hell they give you the opportunity to do. We got 5 stars on iTunes, Logan, but I think we only have 58 reviews, so we need to get that number bumped up. So give us a 5-star rating and give us some feedback. We appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you on CigarFederation.com. Download the app if you don't have it yet.
Don't be bitches about it.
I don't know why you wouldn't have it, but if you don't, download that. All right, guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
Later, bitches.